This is Two Point Conversion with BYU Football, where the Cougars from the Gridiron share insights and testimony of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hey everyone, Connor Pay here, welcoming you to a special episode of Two Point Conversion. Chase Roberts and I have had a crazy week with Chase's graduation and me gearing up for the NFL draft. So we weren't able to record our traditional two-point conversion episode, but today we have something unique for you. We were honored to be interviewed on the Take a Leap podcast by BYU Radio. This inspiring show highlights young individuals who are making a positive impact in the world through their faith in God. So we hope you enjoy this special episode of Take a Leap, and we'll be back next week with another exciting episode of Two Point Conversion.
Guys, this is Sarai with the Take a Leap podcast, and I'm here with
Addie.
And Addie, how do you feel about the new NIL policies in college sports?
I personally think it's fair because players should be able to get money and be successful from their fame and talent.
The relationships that these student athletes have with the colleges, it's going to get a lot more professional rather than personal. Like, I could see them leaving for different colleges just kind of because of the money.
It's affecting, to me, younger kids. It was always my dream to play multiple sports, but you can't really anymore because you have to be so defined because you're going to have to be a professional athlete at the college level now.
It's good because the players, yes, they deserve some of that money. It's making other teams a little bit more competitive. One thing I would change right now, the current thing is change a little bit about the transfer portal, just because it's super easy to jump in and out.
Okay, we're excited to get started. So my name is Leah, as you may be heard. I'm a senior at Brigham Young University.
I'm James, I'm a sophomore at BYU, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and so we started Take a Leap in November, and we talked to young people of faith about the cool things they're doing. And so these cool guys next to us started a podcast in October that we're going to talk about a little bit. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
My name's Connor Pay. I just graduated from BYU from the Entrepreneurial Management Program in the Marriott School in December. And yeah, just getting ready for the NFL draft. So
exciting.
Very exciting.
There you go. I'm Chase Roberts. I am graduating in April from business management. I have just a couple months till I'm done, and it's going to be awesome to be done. And then I'll play in the fall. It'll be my last year here at BYU. I'm a wide receiver on the team, and we're excited. We're going to have a good team this year, and sad Connor's not going to be there, but it'll be all right. We'll still have a good team, so.
Perfect. That kind of leads into the first question that we wanted to ask you guys. Of course, we remember the Alamo Bowl, maybe. We remember finishing 10-2 in the regular season, being ranked 17, but we want to hear from you guys. What were some of your personal highlights?
Ooh, for me, I grew up watching the Utah-BYU rivalry, and I never played in it until this past year, and we beat them by 1 point. All of you know that, hope all you were watching. It was awesome, such a surreal experience being at Utah and Salt Lake and just hearing the silence, so not hearing anything actually of the crowd and the BYU fans that were there that were cheering us on. And the emotions of every single snap. Everyone was going 100% every single play on both sides of the ball, which you don't play a lot of games like that. Usually you take plays off, but that game was full go, 100%. Energy was loud, every single play, and just an experience I'll remember for the rest of my life. And it was pretty cool.
I was going hard on the sideline in my boot.
Yeah, Connor was injured, unfortunately, but.
I would say, I think for me, it was more so just the season as a whole. Whole thing was a highlight, coming from 5-7 and being terrible to then going 11-2. I think just everything we went through in 2023, the whole offseason, with the exception of a few moments, it all came together for us as a team, which is, you know, pretty rewarding feeling.
Fun. It was a fun season to watch, for sure. And you were both offensive captains this last year. What did that role mean to you, and what did you learn about leadership?
Captain is by far the title that's meant the most to me, because you can get all kinds of other awards and things like that, but captain's the only one that's voted on by your peers. Right? And so that one's a lot more meaningful, because the rest of preseason, postseason awards, everything else is voted by media members. And so, you know, to have the people you care about the most, who you did and will bleed for on the field, say, hey, we want you to be one of our leaders, is really meaningful.
Yeah, and I feel like it helped me in life, not just on the football field being a leader and helping win games, but just to be a more Christ-like person. And he was the ultimate leader, Christ was. And as I studied his life, I was able to learn what it really is to be a good leader. And I tried to implement that as much as I could in the football aspect. And I messed up a lot and learned a lot and still trying to become a better leader and know when to be a little more stern with people and when to let things go. And it's just a lot of learning and a lot of growth that comes from being a leader. A lot of uncomfortable situations you're put into, but it's been awesome, you know. And like Connor was saying, it's just an honor to be voted on by your peers, knowing that they trust you and they want more from you, you know. And it's a great experience, and to be able to have a team that was so close together was even more just a joy to be able to play with those guys.
Yesterday, of course, we had the devotional from Coach Satake, and he mentioned how impressed he is, or how much he loves seeing the young men on the football team become leaders and serve in the community. Can you talk a little bit about what you've learned from maybe his example in your lives or as leaders?
Yeah, he's probably the most Christ-like leader that I've ever been around, outside of maybe my mission president and my parents. And when you think about what his responsibility is, being the head coach of a football team is one thing, but being the head football coach at BYU is a separate thing. Because basically the world and the church looks at him and expects to see what BYU represents. So that's an added weight on his shoulders to be up to that standard all the time. And it's easy for him. You know, it's pretty remarkable to watch him lead. And that doesn't mean that he hasn't made mistakes, and I'm sure he has. I'd have a hard time pointing him out, but I'm sure he has. But he's always come back better and stronger. And even in the moments that were the worst for us, he was always steady in his leadership. And he just exemplifies everything that BYU is. And that's what you want in your head football coach. And it's the greatest example I could have asked for, you know, in being a player here and kind of seeing the type of man and the type of leader I want to be one day. You know, I got to watch it. I had a front row seat to it for 4.5 years.
Yeah, he's a special person, and you got to see it at the devotional if you guys went. And you'd think a head coach that stands up will brag about his team and the 11-2 season and the plays made, but in reality, all he cared about was he talked about family, he talked about Christ, he talked about the players on the team, not even playing football, but going out and doing service, because that's what he puts first, and that's what matters to him most. And that's what he talks about in our meetings when we are preparing for a game. You'd think it'd be all stern. And he does have his moments where he gets after us, and he's a great leader that way and fires us up to be better football players. But he always emphasizes first that win or lose, you are a son of God, and you go act like it. If you go off the field like a loser and you don't talk to your family, then shame on you, you know? Like, that's what he's emphasizing, is you step off the field even after a loss and you go be a good boyfriend, a good husband, a good whatever. And that's what matters to him most, is to create young men like that.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so important. And Chase, you mentioned that you're starting your last season at BYU. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to, excited about?
Yeah, I think, because I could have left. I was planning on leaving and being where Connor is right now, preparing right for the draft. And I prayed about it and felt that I needed to stay one more year. And a big part of that was being able to be at BYU for one more year. It's just a unique place to where you can really express yourself and try to become better, become more like Christ, and to be here and to meet new people, to network. And then also, there was also the football aspect of being able to be on just a great team with great coaches and win a national championship, and that's the goal.
And Connor, you mentioned earlier that you're preparing to enter the NFL draft and you've graduated from BYU. What does this moment feel like for you, moving on from BYU and preparing for this next chapter?
It's a little weird. I spent the last 2 months at a facility in Atlanta training, doing all my pre-draft stuff over there, and to think, man, I don't have any homework to do. No due dates, like I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's surreal for sure, because it's something that I've wanted since I was a kid. And so to have a chance to actually do it and to go play for an NFL team is pretty special. And I'm not sure if it even actually does feel real yet. I don't know if it'll feel real till I actually run out on the practice field for the first time, you know, wearing a helmet with some NFL logo on it. But it almost felt like, you know, leaving on a mission again. In a sense, going to Atlanta, I was staying in just a random Airbnb, going and training every day. My schedule was the same every day, but it's been a blast. I'm looking forward to what the future has in store.
Nice. And you talked about, oh, I don't have any deadlines to do. I'm wondering how you guys balance being athletes and now this new podcast and also students. Like, how do you do it all?
ChatGPT. No, I'm just kidding. Time management, I guess, right?
Yeah, you find it when you put, like with the podcast, I mean, Connor came to me this past summer and said, hey, we need to do a Come Follow Me podcast. I think it'd be awesome. And I'm like, no, dude, like, let's not do that. And season came around and he kept nudging me. And so I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, we were going to buy our own microphones and just do it from our computers, whatever. But we got in contact with BYU Radio and they were able to set some things up for us and get us in the studio, and everything just kind of worked out. And it's cool when you strive to do something that's promoting Christ and the gospel, it creates time. And it was really cool to see how before I was more stressed, but when we had a podcast and we had to study every day and make sure that we were on cue for what we were talking about, that time was created. And that's just a testimony to me that when you put the Lord first, that He blesses you.
Agreed.
Nothing more to add, just ChatGPT.
No, that was a joke. I didn't cheat my way through college.
You have the degree now, you've graduated, they're not gonna take it.
That's true. Well, you can't even, in the business school, you can't even do that because 90% of my work was projects. I like, had to present stuff. And, yeah. Or I had to go out and try to sell something. Mm-hmm. So it was like, even if I wanted to cheat, it was hard.
Still found a way though, I'm sure.
But no, I think, like he said, I think if you put the important things first, all of a sudden everything else kind of starts to fit in your schedule somehow, some way. And for me as a student, I was always very much just, I wanted to be on top of what I was doing, or I'd get ahead. If we had a slower week at football, bye week or something, and I would manage my classes to where I saved some of the easier ones for during the season. And then I would take a heavier load in the winter and spring when I had a little more time that I could focus on school. And so I think you kind of just have to plan like in advance, like months, maybe even a year in advance, your courses and all that stuff. And I feel like as long as you're mindful about all of it, then you can budget your time properly and actually do it fairly easily.
You've had some really amazing guests on the podcast already.
Yeah.
And some of these people include Brad Wilcox, Hank Smith, your own fathers, who actually played football at BYU together, right, back in the 90s, which is pretty crazy. Who has been your favorite guest to have on, or your favorite episode that you've prepared for and experienced?
I was gonna say, my mom.
Yeah, we have to, because they're here.
Your parents are here?
No, they didn't show up, of course. I didn't tell them, though. It's my fault, I should have told them about it.
No, I would say, so far, my mom's been my favorite episode because of how badly she did not want to do it. And I just had to nudge her. Am I allowed to tell this story, Mom? I don't want to embarrass you. I'm going to tell it. And she's like, I'm not going on that freaking podcast. Like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I don't want to go and talk about it. Was it you that told me that she was sitting out in the car before the episode, like, doing her deep breathing in the parking lot? I didn't even see that happen, but I guess Chase saw it. And then she came in and you killed it, Mom. It was awesome. And just to hear our mom's perspectives, even though they've taught us the gospel our whole lives, it was kind of fun to see them in that setting.
Yeah.
I don't know who your favorite
was. No, I agree. That was awesome to have our parents on, just knowing that they were the ones, that helped us get to where we are, and their insights, and it's just reminded me a lot of growing up and hearing my mom bear testimony when, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, we're all on their bed and just talking about the scriptures, laughing and having fun as a family, and just brought the spirit very strongly. And I mean, all the other guests have been amazing, you know, the scholars and stuff. You learn a lot. That's the biggest thing about the podcast, is that we've learned so much. Like, I'm taking notes, I'm highlighting things, like, while we're doing the podcast, and I'm like, all right, I just got my study in for the week, you know? Not really, but it's, you just learn so much. And
Brad Wilcox was probably the easiest episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just took over.
We didn't say anything.
We answered a few of his questions.
He asked us. Yeah, he flipped the script. We were on his podcast.
Yeah, we're like, all right, let's move on to this. And we were like, sweet.
Cool.
Like, let's just keep going.
Do you do anything else to prepare for the podcast? Obviously, you would study the scriptures, but do you have like deep breathing that you do in the car before you go in, or any sort of anything?
No, not really. Yeah, I feel like... if you just do your daily scripture study, it's like obviously we have to dive a little deeper than like I normally would have, because you don't know what the guest is going to bring up. I don't know what Chase is going to bring up during the podcast. And so like you want to have a conversation about basically anything that could come up with the sections. And so that's a little stressful, or it's like, man, I got to study like everything because I don't want to just have Chase make a comment about something that I didn't study, or I don't, and it's not like I always have to add something to it, but I mean, I probably do talk too much.
No, it's nice, because honestly, it's easier for me. Connor's kind of the leader of the podcast. He makes things flow very well, and I just kind of chirp in whenever, like, or he'll just look at me and be like, Chase, it's your turn, like, go. And then I'll say a little something. So it's nice. We bounce off each other well, I feel like, and Connor has that voice that you listen to, you know, that you just want to hear. And then with the guests, yeah, we just play off of them, and they always know a lot more than we do. So yeah, it's nice when we have questions or when we start veering off the path. Connor's made some questionable comments on false doctrine.
No, that's true.
But we've gotten
not
corrected.
False doctrine. I've cited some things wrong. I've said some inappropriate words.
Oh, no.
But everything can be edited, right? Exactly. Which is the great part thing about it. Our producer, Cleon, just fixes it. And then I sound great every week.
You know, it's funny, this morning I was announcing to my religion class that we were doing this event today, and I mentioned, of course, that you guys had a podcast, and my professor was like, those guys have a podcast? He's like, everyone has a podcast nowadays, which is funny because he has three podcasts. It's Casey Griffiths.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we love Casey. But he was getting at something that I think is interesting. It's like, what do you guys hope people get out of your podcast? Because there are so many different podcasts.
I mean, that's why we really started it, is because it's a different kind of demographic that we are trying to hit. You know, a lot of BYU football fans or young kids that watch us, they just see us in our helmets, you know? And when they're able to see a different side of us and understand that the reason we play and the way we play is through Christ. And that's a big part of it, you know, and be able to listen to a different, you know, instead of a religion professor that knows all the little details, we're able to share some experiences that tie into our football career. And it's unique in a way, and we felt it was necessary to share with the world. And it's been an honor to do that and bring a different perspective.
Like you said, people get to see football in our lives all the time, but that's not the most important thing in our life. And very rarely, you know, one of the things we had talked about is how much we feel like we would have benefited if some of the BYU football players that we idolized when we were little had done something like this. And maybe we would have taken the gospel a little more seriously when we were teenagers.
Yeah, I love that you saw kind of a need or a gap in your childhood where, oh, I wish these football players had done it, and now you're doing it. That's really cool. Looking into the future, who do you think you would be, like, your dream guest? Who'd be like, that would be so cool if we could get them
Jesus
on the podcast? A little more attainable, maybe.
You've talked about your own faith lives, like, a little bit. We wanted to get into that a little bit more. And so you both served missions for the church, which can be hard, right? As somebody who's an athlete, who's dedicating all their time to that, but then taking 2 years off to focus on something different. What was that experience like for you? Why did you serve missions, and what did you learn through that experience?
It was hard, but the foundation that it sets for you when it comes to whatever it is that you're doing in your future, whether it's football, just schooling, becoming a nurse, becoming a mom, a parent, whatever, it's the foundation that you need just to build on Christ and to do hard things. It's not just you're becoming closer to Christ, but there's times where you just have to work hard, you know? And of course you're relying on Him, but the fact that you need to grind through afflictions and hard times and just be tough and disciplined, like, that is a really essential skill that you need in life. I mean, it's a skill that the Savior had. We can all bring it back to the Savior and just trying to be like Him. And everyone here that has served missions can say the same thing. It brought you closer to Him and then helped you in every aspect of your life, all the challenges that you face when you're a young adult and then even later in life.
Yeah. I think there's probably two main things for me. Like, I served in Washington, D.C., and I thought there might be someone from my mission here too. I thought I saw Alex walk in. Hi, Alex. So Alex served with me. He spoke Spanish. So he's with the Spanish missionaries. I spoke English. But the area that we were in was extremely educated. Like, a lot of government employees, State Department, CIA, that type of thing, because we were right across the Potomac River from DC. So the first thing is I had to learn how to communicate with highly educated people. And I had to learn the gospel very fast, or I wouldn't be able to hold a conversation with these people because they just understood high-level concepts that I didn't. And so I think just how hard you have to study the gospel to really start to understand it was the first thing I learned. And then the second thing, just to echo what Chase said, just the discipline. Because our mission was all street contacting and tracting. That's what we did. And there are some days where you wake up and that is the last thing on earth you want to do, is go walk outside and talk to as many random people as you can. But you have to do it because that's what you're supposed to do. And you learn that skill, like Chase said, as a missionary, and that was invaluable coming back then in the football sense, because you have to do the same thing. Like, it's practice sucks most of the year. You know, your body hurts, but you have to go out there and you have to do it because that's how you get better. And that's a skill that I feel like not only sports taught me growing up, but really was drilled home as a missionary. And then not to mention the relationship that I gained with my Savior. That goes without saying. When you serve a mission and you do it the right way, you're gonna come back with a personal relationship with Christ.
Yeah, that's great. You talked a little bit about how the football team is very service-oriented, and I wonder if you could talk maybe a little bit more about that.
We're broken up into teams in the off-season, and there's captains on each team. There's 10 of them, and you get points for service. So we try to win every week, and I mean, that's not the sole motivating factor.
Rewards is why we do it.
That's the only reason you see those videos of us out there. No. No, we truly love it and we truly find joy in going and serving people. We were just at this event with these special needs people and it was so fun just to be with them and how excited they were and the joy that they had having BYU football players come and spend time with them. And really that's the main thing, is if we can be there and show them that we care, they just love the presence of having someone that cares about them. And I think that goes with everyone doing service. You just need to be there for somebody, and it doesn't really matter what you say or the advice that you give. The fact that you're there and you're serving and loving them is huge to people, and we've seen that a lot on the BYU football team.
Just show up.
Just show up, yeah.
And I think for me, there's a few experiences that are very special for me in that sense, but I always loved going and visiting the kids in the hospitals. That was a really humbling experience because you get to go and see these kids, and BYU football has what's called the True Blue Hero program, where once a week during the season we bring in a child or somebody who more often than not has a terminal illness. And one of their wishes was they want to spend time with us. That's a pretty special thing, to know that this person is literally dying and what they asked is to come and spend a day with BYU football, all right? And now there's probably 6 or 7 of them, True Blue Heroes, that we've had that have passed on now that we've been here for. Obviously, that's a really special thing to get to interact with people like that. And, you know, there was one boy that lived, 6 months longer than he was supposed to? Mm-hmm. And his parents told us that after he came and had that True Blue Hero day where he got to be with the team, it's like all of a sudden he had a new life. And he lived 6 months longer than expected. Sometimes it's hard to realize in the moment that you as a team can have an impact on somebody like that. And when you discover that, it gives you new and higher purpose that we then can carry into every time we take the field. It's like, you know, we're playing for those people.
And for you guys, it's a little thing, right? To be able to be football players and show them that you can have fun and be joyful and do all these things and that they can just absorb your energy. I don't want to bring it back to missions necessarily, but Connor, we saw that you had been an MTC teacher before. That's not accurate.
Mission prep.
Mission prep. Oh, you taught mission prep. Okay, so that's different. But that's still an experience of helping people prepare to be missionaries.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? What did you want them to know when they were going out to serve and dedicate their
lives? I will say, I did get an email asking if I would come teach at the MTC.
Okay.
And I wrote back, N-O. But no, I think for me, the most impactful thing for me on my mission outside of the things that I told you guys about earlier was people, right? And so everything that I try to teach the missionaries is how to connect with other human beings. Because everyone in one form or another needs the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they realize it or not. And it's up to the missionaries to know that person well enough or befriend them well enough to where you know what those needs are. And too many times missionaries go out, they learn the lessons, they memorize the doctrinal points, and then they go and just regurgitate those lessons to people when they have no idea if that person even cares what they're saying. Elder Holland talks about more important than speaking is listening, right? And he says that if you listen with love, you won't have to wonder what to teach. It'll be given to you by the Spirit and by your friends that you're teaching. And that's one of the things, like if I have a person for a year that's prepping for a mission, we'll spend the first 3 months on the doctrine, making sure they memorize and understand those 40 doctrinal points. The last 9 months, the whole time is I want to teach them how to ask inspired questions and listen to people. Take a real interest in their life. Share what that person needs. One of the unique positions you're in as a missionary is what you think and what you care about, other than what's given to you by the Holy Ghost, is irrelevant. Everything you're doing should be focused on the people you're teaching and helping them. And all of a sudden, they'll actually take a sincere interest and want to build a relationship with Christ and learn of the truthfulness of the restoration for themselves, not just because the missionaries are telling them to. There's a difference.
I'm wondering what you hope that people of faith of our generation see in the future.
Scriptures tell us to hope for a better world, right?
Yeah.
But the hard part is the scriptures also tell us that things are probably going to get worse before they get better. That's the hard part. And so, I don't know. That's why I cling to some of the doctrines of the restoration, like eternal families, knowing that Christ is going to come again. I have to cling to those because without those, it's kind of hard to have hope that things are going to improve because the world's getting worse. You know, and maybe not so much in the sense of individual people are getting worse, but just society as a whole are kind of degrading a little bit, right? And it's still filled with wonderful people. We just are losing our standards. And so that's what I would hope that people can realize is that through Christ, that no matter the affliction or the hardship or what's going on in your life, that he's been through worse. It reminds me of when Joseph Smith's in Liberty Jail and he's basically asking, like, this sucks so bad. Like, why are you not helping me? The Lord reminds him, I've descended below all things. It's like, are you greater than me? Is the question he asks. And so that's what I would hope that people can see in the future. I hope they see that Christ is their future. And so in a very real way, what's going on around us, it doesn't have to determine, you know, how our life goes. President Nelson said that joy has nothing to do with the circumstances of our lives. It has everything to do with the focus of our lives. And so if you focus your life on Christ, you have every reason to have hope. And without him, you have every reason not to.
Yeah, I mean, hope is that prerequisite to faith. You know, you need that hope. But then comes action and trying to become better. And faith brings miracles as well. And that's what we need in this day and age. You know, it's hard. It's not easy. You need that action. You need to act. You need to do things that help you become better. And I think that's why hope is so awesome, because it leads to something miraculous. It leads to things that are just out of this world and brings so much joy.
Well, thank you guys so much. There is a lot to hope for. There's a lot to have joy about. Thank you so much for joining us, Connor, Chase. Yeah. It was great to have you guys tonight. Thank you to everyone who joined us tonight as well. Please be sure to subscribe to Take a Leap, but also to 2 Point Conversion. We'd love for you guys to be able to learn more from Connor and Chase.